ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, chapter is entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers, text number 29. Please repeat after me. Jiva na vakti Jiva na vakti Bhagavat guna namadeyam.
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 Chetascha nasmarati tacharanaravindam. Chetascha nasmarati tacharanaravinda.
Chetascha nasmarati tacharanaravinda.
Krishnaya no namati yachira ekadapi.
Krishnaya no namati yachira ekadapi.
Krishnaya no namati yachira ekadapi. Tan anayadva masato krita vishnu kritya. Tan anayadva masato krita vishnu kritya. Mission and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Purport. The word Vishnu Krityan is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashram Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Arajate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual divisions: Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Ne te vitu svartagatim hi Vishnum. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home back to Godhead, or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durasya ye bahir artamaneha. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him those persons who have forgotten their duties toward Vishnu, akritta Vishnu krityan. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of Vishnu, and who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu, is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all Avaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj. Om Jai Krishna. So it is my great pleasure and fortune to be here this morning at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir with all the wonderful devotees present. It's like a sea of shining faces. Everyone is so effulgent and bright, smiling. And I'm very inspired to be here. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam and also take your blessings, because many of you are my seniors, especially in terms of knowledge and realization. I'm like a small child who will speak some broken words for the pleasure of the parents. And in this way, I beg all of you to give your blessings that I can speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yesterday we heard the heart-rending news of the departure of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj from this world. Hearing this news, I was inspired to delve into some of the literatures that Maharaj had written and shared with our most worshipable A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I began reading some morning walk conversations, very famous conversations that later became written as the famous book Life Comes from Life. These morning walks were recorded in 1973 in Chevet Hills Park in Los Angeles. And on the first day, Prabhupada is walking with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj. At that time his name was Dr. Singh. Todo Damodar Singh. And Prabhupada was discussing life on other planets. Prabhupada was saying, there's life on the sun. There's life on the moon. What do the scientists say? And Dr. Singh and also Karandar was also there. He was saying that, oh, the scientists are saying there's no life on other planets. They went to the moon, they found this dust, and no living entity can survive in dust. And Prabhupada began a wonderful exchange that was to repeat again and again, which would compose the text of Life Comes from Life. And that was the exchange between guru and disciple, the exchange between Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj and Prabhupada, in which Prabhupada would challenge Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami and the mood that Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj would represent the scientists, and Prabhupada would smash him to pieces. And this reoccurred again and again. Prabhupada explained that you say there's no life in the dust, but the living entity is not dependent upon any material situation, because the living entity is spiritual. It cannot be cut by any weapon. It cannot be burned by any fire. It cannot be wet by any water. And it cannot be dry by any wind. Prabhupada explained that the scientists, they are comparing their own personal experiences to the realm of the Absolute. Prabhupada said, it is just like Dr. Frog. And Prabhupada told the story that once there was a frog living in his well. And his friend came to him and said, oh, my friend, Dr. Frog, I have just seen the Atlantic Ocean. It's huge. It's so big. It's tremendous. And Dr. Frog said, really? How big is it? Is it as big as my well? And his friend said, no, much bigger, much, much bigger. And Dr. Frog said, is it two times the size? His friend said, no, much bigger. And his friend said, is it 10 times the size? And his friend said, no, no, much, much bigger. You cannot imagine. So Prabhupada was drawing this analogy that with their teeny tiny brains and limited sense perception, the scientists, they cannot make any advancement through the process of this speculation. This speculation is not the process for gaining knowledge. The process for gaining knowledge is to hear from authority, from the Absolute Truth. Vajavidya, Vajaguyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, Prajakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukam Kartam Avyayam. That this knowledge that Krishna gives us in Gita, it is the king of knowledge. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is completely pure. And because it gives direct perception of the self through self-realization, through experience, it is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So like this, this is a wonderful exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj that continues to come to us today through this wonderful book, Life Comes from Life, and we're all continue benefiting from it. So my realization, my small realization, is that even though Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj has left this world, his teachings, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, continue to enlighten everyone's hearts. Tesham evanu kampartam aham jnanajam tamaha nasyamhyatma bhavasto jnana dapena basvataha. That this shining lamp of knowledge is illuminating the living entities from the darkness of ignorance. And we're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj for providing this illumination to us. In today's discussion, we're hearing about how the Yamadutas are being instructed by Yamaraj. Parikshit Maharaj had inquired from Sukadeva Goswami after hearing the fifth canto. The fifth canto is a very frightening and scary canto where we hear all about hellish planets and what will happen to the sinful living entities. They're fried, they're drowned, they're pulled from thorn trees and rendered limb from limb, eyes bitten out by vultures and all kinds of scary activities. So Maharaj Parikshit is Paradukaduki. He's a devotee. He cares about the living entities. So he wants to know, how can they be helped? So he inquires from Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami is narrating this wonderful pastime of Ajamil, who is saved from these horrible Yamadutas. And we're gaining the wonderful instructions of Yamaraj. These instructions revolutionize the heart. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam bhavati api namani anantasya yasom kintaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. That this message of Bhagavatam, it creates a revolution in the lives of an impious civilization because it contains the message of the name, the qualities, the forms, the pastimes, and the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is heard, sung, and accepted by all those who are thoroughly honest. So today, our lives are being revolutionized by this wonderful instruction of Yamaraj to the Yavaduta, in which he explains three major points. He says, who is punishable by Yamaraj? And then, who is not punishable by Yamaraj? And thirdly, what is the aim of human life? So, number one, I'd like to discuss who is punishable by Yamaraj. So we hear in this shloka, jiva na vakti bhagavad guna name dhyan. That na vakti, vakti means to chant. We hear the vak means speech. So who is na vakti, who is not using their speech for bhagavad guna name dhyan, for glorifying the gunas, the qualities, and the nam, the name of the Lord, who is not using their tongue to glorify the qualities and the name of the Lord, they are qualified for punishment. Therefore, we should embrace this process of hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. We should embrace Krishna Katha, and we should embrace the Yuga Dharma, the loud chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Two, Chaitas Chana Smarati Tach Charanaravindam. He is not engaged in Smaran, Smarati. Smaran means to remember. Kirtanam, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. He who is not Smaran, Smaran means to remember. He who is not Smaran, remembering the Charanaravindam, the lotus feet of the Lord, that person is subjected to punishment. And third, Krishnayana Namati Yachchira Ekadapi, that person who is not engaged in bowing down before the deity in the temple. So, bow down, mister. Bow down before the deity in the temple. Otherwise, we're subjected to punishment. And fourth, tan anyad vam asato krita vishnu krityan. Krit karo, to do, to engage in activities, who is akrita vishnu krityan, who is not engaged in performing his duties to Vishnu. That person is subject to punishment. This brings us to morning walk number two. On 19th of April 1973 in Chariot Hills Park, Los Angeles, USA. Again, Karandar, Prabhupada, and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. They're walking along and Prabhupada continues his tirade of smashing the scientists. Prabhupada is explaining that there are three gunas, Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. And in these three gunas, all the living entities are subjected to these three gunas. Even the plants and the trees, they're subjected. Some trees are giving wonderful fruits, and some trees are just giving firewood. So even trees are in different modes. And he explains that in the animal species of life, there are three animals. There's the cow, there's the monkey, and there's the tiger. They're also in the three modes. And Prabhupada smashes Darwin. He says, and Darwin's father is a monkey. So Prabhupada is asking, so how they say the process of evolution began. And then Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj, he takes a part of the scientist. He says, in the beginning, everything has come from chemicals. Prabhupada begins to smash against this. He says, Prabhupada says, if you claim that life is coming from chemicals and you are such a great scientist, then you have access to so many chemicals. You do it. You take the chemicals in your laboratory and you create life. But you cannot do this. So Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj gives the reply of the scientists. They say, after some time we will do this. Prabhupada says, trust no future, no matter how pleasant. Trust no future, no matter how pleasant. This means that we cannot be dependent upon what is going to happen in the future. We want results now. We want proof now. This is scientific. Hypothesis, experiment, conclusion. So where is their experiment and where is their conclusion? Just like the example of the post-dated check. Just like, let's say I wanted to go to the Radha Gopinath Tate Ministry and purchase all the CDs and all the DVDs. And I tell them, here's a post-dated check for 1 crore rupee, whatever. Some donation also is included. And they say, oh, my dear Prabhu, how much Lakshmi you have in your bank account now? And I say, actually, there's only 10 rupees in my account. But after some time, I will have 1 crore and you can cash this check. Now, will they be intelligent to take this check to try to get 1 crore rupees from it? No, they will not be able to get that Lakshmi. So similarly, the scientists are using the same example. We cannot create life from chemicals now, but in the future, we will do it. Here is the post-dated check. Will an intelligent person accept this conclusion? No. Therefore, the scientists are bogus. And as Prabhupada writes in the translation today, which is very interesting, the last line of the translation today, because it's not in the Sanskrit, at least to my perception. Some of you pundits may find it there. Prabhupada translates the last line as, please bring me all such fools and rascals. Is it there? Anayadvam. Okay. Asakto. So fools and rascals are also there. So just as fools and rascals are there in Bhagavatam, these scientists are also fools and rascals. As Prabhupada would often say. We're just repeating his words. So in this way, we are understanding that the scientists are also falling into this category of those four persons who are not glorifying the name and quality of the Lord. They're not remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. They're not bowing down before the Lord in the temple. And they're not performing their duties to Krishna, Vishnu, and therefore they're subject to danda, subject to the rod of punishment. So, now I'd like to discuss who is not punishable. We've discussed who is punishable. Let us discuss who is not punishable. So, the devotees of the Lord, they're not fit for punishment. Krishna is giving them intelligence. Tesham satatayuk, tesham satatayuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam. They're constantly devoted to the Lord. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So the Lord is giving the devotees this intelligence. His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodara Swami Maharaj is a wonderful example of a devotee who's always engaged in these activities. He's always chanting the glories of the qualities and the name of the Lord. Shri Radhika Madhava Yora Para Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nana. That the spiritual master is always engaged in remembering the qualities of and pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was always giving wonderful classes and transmitting these wonderful glories of the Lord. He was always engaged in kirtan.
Mahaprabho kirtana nritya gita varitramadya manasurasena.
One time I was in America with Jagya Purush Prabhu in New York, and we traveled to New Jersey for a retreat. It was a brahmachari retreat. Now in America, there are not so many brahmacharis like you find here. So we were about four or five brahmacharis, and we went to New Jersey Temple. And to our great surprise and joy, an unexpected guest had arrived at New Jersey Temple. And that was Parampuja Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj. Maharaj promptly joined us in performing kirtan in the temple. And the way he performs kirtan, it's just soaked in the tradition of the acharyas. He's so cultured. It's like coming in contact with a book, Bhagavatam, just something so authentic, so traditional, so real, so touching to the heart. His energy and his mood transcended his age. He's 69 years old when he left the planet, but so much energy and vigor is just shining through his heart. And while we were there in New Jersey, he invited me to come to Manipur to perform Harinam Sankirtan with him. So I told Maharaj I would consider his kind offer and thanked him for his offer. Later that year, I traveled to Mayapur, and again I met Maharaj in Mayapur. Maharaj that year had brought 100 drummers. I don't know if anyone remembers that year. He brought 100 drummers to Mayapur, and they put on a big demonstration of this traditional drumming, all doing their flying drum dance at the same time. And I asked one of them, "Can you teach me to do that?" And he said, "Impossible." Then I approached Maharaj after the performance, and I asked him if he was still willing to have me come to Manipur. And he said, "Yes, yes, please come, give your name, we'll arrange your visa for you." So I did all the preliminary procedures, and sure enough, I flew up to Imphal, to Manipur. And there Maharaj made so many wonderful arrangements. He took care of the guest devotees very nicely, very personal. And it was a very special program, a holy Sankirtan party. Just after Gaur Purnim is this festival called Holi. And they have every year in Manipur, a very special program, where they do Harinam Sankirtan for 4 or 5 days. And they go from house to house and do Harinam Sankirtan. They do 40 to 50 house programs per day. 40 to 50 house programs per day. They have a bus and they have a car, and they very carefully chart it out according to map. So they go house to house that are in the proper vicinity. And they pack all their instruments, the mridangas, kartels, and trumpets. And we get in the bus and they arrive at the first house. Every house in Manipur has a tulsi plant. It's very Vaishnava state, very traditional. So they all offer their obeisances to tulsi, and then they perform kirtan for 5 or 10 minutes. The hosts bring out some prasad. The devotees take a little prasad and then go next house. They arrive at the house, they offer their obeisances to tulsi, 5 to 10 minutes kirtan, little prasad, next house. So like this, they do 20, 25 programs And then they go for lunch, and in the evening, again, 20-25 programs. And they maintain this for 4 or 5 days. They do hundreds of programs. And Maharaj is there at every place, participating in the kirtan, associating with the grihasthas who have welcomed the devotees into their home to perform kirtan. And it's a very enlivening program. And they're giving nice prasadam, nice exchanges there. Often they're giving some donation to the temple also at that time. And the devotees are very enlivened, and Maharaj is just beaming with a great smile by the performance of Sankirtan. Yesterday, I believe we heard that often someone who is very intellectual is not so much involved in music and arts, and someone who is involved in music and arts is not so intellectual. But Maharaj, he exemplified someone who is completely absorbed in the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada instructed him, and also completely absorbed in the bhav, in the mellows of chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Maharaj, he went to the Kumbh Mela, he brought his 100 drummers. He was always remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. We attended one architect's meeting with him where he was designing his beautiful new temple to house the lotus feet and the whole body of the Lord. And he was always performing his duties to Vishnu, which brings us to the last point of today's discussion, which is number 3. What is the aim of human life? Aim of human life is to perform our duties to Krishna, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that we should act according to Varnashram Dharma. He quotes this verse, Varnashramacharavata Puhushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradyate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. So the Vishnu Puran explains one should perform activities according to the Varnashram system. The brahmachari should swadhyaya, he should study. The grihastha should offer sacrifices and be charitable. The vanaprastha should practice austerities. And the sannyasi, he should preach Krishna consciousness. And this is the mood of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He was perfectly engaged in his ashram of sannyas by preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, in Italy, in America, in Europe, in Russia, in India, all over the world. Maharaj was preaching and writing his books, which will continue to preach even after his departure. A few weeks ago, a big bus drove into ISKCON Pandalpur. He has a special bus party, the Bhaktivedanta Institute bus party. And they have 4 buses for each quadrant of India to go around to preach. This way he's coming up with new ideas to preach more and more. It's fantastic. So we should take heart from the example, the shining example of Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He's the champion of Sankirtan. He's Srila Prabhupada's dear devotee, following his instructions to the last, down to the letter, to his last breath. Of course, we grieve the loss of Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, but we should take heart and strive to follow his example. So, to conclude today's discussion, we spoke about one, who is punishable by the Yamadutas, those who are not glorifying the qualities in the name of the Lord, those who are not remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, and those who are not bowing down before the Lord, and those who are not engaged in their duties to the Lord. In this way, we should engage our duties to Lord Krishna. And what is universal in every ashram, in every varna, is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In closing, I would like to leave all of you with one very important lesson that I learned in Pandalpur Dham. And this is that Darwin has said that we come from amoeba, but we don't come from amoeba. We come from Vitoba. Shri Vitala Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Pandrinath ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Param Puja Bhakti Swarup Damodara Swami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanande. Hari Bol. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.